is we're going to start off, we're going to be in really two different passages, 1 Corinthians 6 and then Proverbs later on. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, as we continue with current trends and different things that are going on in our world, tonight we're going to be talking about TV shows. And, of course, you've probably heard about some of the things that are going on with some of these things. And, of course, this is certainly in the news cycle again. So that's what we're going to be looking at here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 is where we're going to be. Let's first ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll jump right in as we look at what the Bible says about TV and what we watch and what we allow into our lives. And then we'll jump right in. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We're thankful for your word. Lord, help us as we examine this topic, Lord, of what we watch and what we allow us to entertain us. Lord, I pray that you give us strength and help. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves, help us to be honest with you. And, Lord, to find what the Bible actually says about these things. And, Lord, help us to really honestly assess ourselves and assess what we've allowed into our lives. Lord, strengthen us in these things, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray all of this. Amen. We can go to the next slide, Brother Brian. And, of course, this is really what got it into the modern mindset again. This is a show. It's entitled Little Demon. It's a cartoon show. It's on FX, okay? Some people have said it would be on Disney. It's not on Disney. It's made from the same parent company as Disney. But it's on FX, so it's kind of made for adults. Here's what it's entitled. We can go to the next slide. This is a summary of it. This is the summary of this show, okay? 13 years after being impregnated by Satan, a reluctant mother, Laura, and her Antichrist daughter, Chrissy, attempt to live an ordinary life in Delaware, but are constantly thwarted by monstrous forces, including Satan, who yearns for custody of his daughter's soul. That's a show that's coming out right now. It just became live, I believe, on FX somewhere around this time. If you go to the next slide, Brother Brian, this is Aubrey Plaza, an actress. She's the one that plays the Antichrist, I guess you could say. Here's what she says. I love that we are normalizing paganism. Laura is a pagan. She's a witch, and she is Jack, her very strong. Okay? This is a show right now. You could go, if you had FX, you could watch it. Another show, if we can, you can go to the next slide. You've heard of Game of Thrones, of course. Game of Thrones just came off the air. It had been on for seven years, I believe. Game of Thrones was known for a few things. Number one, brutal violence. And number two, and perhaps even more so, nudity. Specifically, if you can go to the next slide, Brother Brian, this is how many times Game of Thrones had nude scenes per season. In season one, 19 nude scenes. Season two, 13. Season three, 13. Season four, 9. Season five, 14. Season six, 8. Season seven, 6. Now, the thing to consider here is that Game of Thrones had only 10 episodes per season. Meaning that if you have 19 scenes and you have 10 episodes, that means there are roughly, all points being equal, 2 nude scenes per show. Now, I remember when Game of Thrones first came out, and one time I was talking to somebody, and that was a Christian, thankfully not at our church. But I was talking to them, and they're like, man, I really like Game of Thrones. And I talked to this guy, and I said, excuse me? We all understand that a show like this, I would hope we all understand, that a show like this would have no place in a Christian's home. Would you agree? But the reality is, frankly, it's becoming more and more common. It's everywhere anymore. So much so that if you have live streaming of any sort, if you have Netflix, if you have Hulu, if you have anything like that, nudity can and could be in your home. Now, I'm not saying that streaming services are bad in and of themselves because they have bad things on them. Okay? Obviously, we use the internet at our church, and there's a lot of bad things on the internet. Right? So, I'm not saying that necessarily, but I am saying that we as Christians need to be cautious. Because obviously these are extreme cases, but frankly, just about any show that you watch anymore has inappropriate scenes. I remember I was, as you know, a nerd, okay? And I was watching one of the new Star Trek shows, and in that Star Trek movie, this was the one that came out, I don't know, 5-10 years ago. In that movie, randomly, in the middle of the scene, it had someone with just their underwear on. The reality is that's everywhere in our world, is it not? You cannot watch commercials, you cannot watch a football game, you cannot watch anything on TV without being inundated with the world. Would you not agree with that? So we as Christians need to understand where we draw these lines and what do we watch, what do we allow into our homes. We have to be careful. Would you not agree? We need to be careful. So let's examine this if we can. Now, two simple ideas we're going to look at from two simple passages that can help give some guidance. Number one, some considerations on TV from 1 Corinthians 6. And then we'll continue on with some cautions and some moving forward in our changing what we watch. First off, some considerations on TV. Let's jump in. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 12. Familiar passage, you've probably heard it before. But 1 Corinthians 6, 12, here's what it says. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, he's already explained to the Corinthian church earlier in the book of Corinthians how they're saved not by the works, but they're saved by faith, right? And we would all agree with that, yes? We are children of God, not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has already done, right? So it's not about us, it's all about him. So now what he's doing, though, is he's explaining to this church that, frankly, had a lot of bad things going on, that just because something may be lawful in the sense of you can't go to hell for it, it still might not be a good thing. Would you not agree? Let me explain it this way, okay? Let me use an illustration just from our kids' lives, okay? Would I go to jail if I gave my kids a lighter, yes or no? Would I go to jail for that? No. Is it a good idea for me to let the kids play with lighters, yes or no? No. Just because I'm not going to go to jail for it doesn't mean it's something I should do, okay? There needs to be some level of discretion. So what Paul is doing here in this passage is he's giving areas of discretion, some questions that we can ask ourselves to examine where we are when it comes to TV, or really, frankly, anything in our lives, okay? But specifically in the message here tonight, TV. Number one question, is it profitable? Is it profitable? Can we say that together? Ready? Is it profitable? As 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are not, what? Expedient. Now, expedient is a really interesting word. Expedient is an interesting word. I need a volunteer. Someone that has not hurt their back. So not Brother Ronald. Okay? Josh, thank you for volunteering, man. I saw his hand pop up so fast, you couldn't even see it. All right, Josh, come on up. Okay? We're going to illustrate this by briefly lifting this table. Okay? So you're going to grab one side. I'm going to grab the other. I know, Ron. He's going to hurt his back too. Okay? All right, you ready? You ready? All right, go and lift it. No, you got to lift it. You gotta lift it. Good, lift it. Good. Now, am I helping Josh, yes or no? Not a bit! Why? Because I don't want to hurt my back. You can put it down. The illustration here. Thank you, Josh. Stay up here for a second because you just keep holding. No, I'm just kidding. The idea of expedient is an interesting word. It has the idea, literally, the word means to carry together. Now, why on earth? Well, all the words that he could have used to explain this idea, why would he say carry together? There are words for good, there are words for beneficial, there are words for helpful, for profitable, all those different things. But he used the word carry together. What's the idea here? What does that mean? Thoughts? What do you think? Why would he use that word, carry together? What do you think? Any idea?
We think of like sharing each other's burdens.
That's true. But here's what I think it's saying. In our lives, okay, some things are not helping us lift the burdens of our lives. Some things are not helping us move forward in our lives. Would you not agree with that? Some things may be okay to do, but they're not assisting us in lifting and moving forward. Am I making sense? What's Paul saying here? He's saying, hey, some things, while they may be lawful, while they may be allowable, they're not profitable. They're not moving us forward. It'd be like me when Josh is trying to move the table and I'm not doing anything in it. They're not doing anything good for us. They might not be bad, but they're not good. Now, profit goes a long way. Obviously, some things are fine just for entertainment purpose and things along that line. But the reality is, we only have but so much time in our life. And TV, frankly, if we're not careful, can take up way too much time in our life. Would you not agree with that? TV could take your whole life and you could just sit around watching TV and you never do anything for the Lord because you're too busy watching TV. I've used the illustration before. People go and say, oh, I don't have time to read the Bible, but because I'm too busy watching this or I'm too busy doing that. Is it profitable? Thanks, Josh. Two simple ideas here, quickly. First off, does it lift your life? Does it help you lift your life, as the Word says, to carry together? Number two, does it cooperate with the Spirit in your life? The Holy Spirit wants to guide us, wants to move us forward in our lives. And if we're not careful, some things in our life just frankly aren't helping the Spirit move forward. Again, that doesn't mean that you can't do certain things that are just fun and enjoyable. But you have to consider, is this really helping my life or is it not helping my life? If it's not helping my life, then obviously that should not be the most important thing, the thing that takes all my time. Are you all with me? Yes? Number one, is it profitable? Number two, is it controlling? Can we say that together? Ready? Is it what? Controlling. Good. Controlling. As verse 12 says, I would not be brought under the power of any. So in this passage, what's he saying? He's saying that some things can control us. Now, there's a lot of things that things can control. They can control our thoughts. Specifically in the realm of TV, they can control our thoughts. Why, for example, in a lot of streaming services, do they only release shows every week, right? They release it every Wednesday or every Friday. Why do they do that? Because they want you to be thinking about it all week long. There's no reason why they couldn't just release it all at the same time. They're doing that so you think about it all week long. Now, it's not a problem to enjoy this or enjoy that, but you have to consider, are you constantly thinking about stuff that frankly isn't helping you spiritually? You all with me here? Is that constantly there? Your thoughts, number two, is it controlling your time? Like I said, the Bible says that we are to redeem the time. We're to purchase every moment that we have because we only have but so many moments on this earth. Right? And if we're not careful, things will control all our time, and we never move forward for the Lord, we never grow in the Lord, and we wonder why. Well, it's because we're wasting all our time on things that don't really matter. Is it profitable? Number two, is it controlling? Number three, in this passage, is it acceptable? Now, he talks to the Corinthians here, and he talks to them about some things that they were doing, and it's specifically about fornication, that is, sexual sin, any type of sexual sin. Verse number 15, if we can jump into it. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body, for two say he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So, and he goes on with the same idea. Here's the simple principle, if we can. Okay? The simple principle is if you wouldn't be... Let's imagine, if you can, that Jesus came to your house. Jesus comes to your house, and you're going to go spend time with Jesus. If you wouldn't turn it on with Jesus in your house, then you shouldn't turn it on with Jesus in your heart. Does that make sense? Let's take it a step further. Okay? Let's imagine that I'm coming over to your house and we're going to watch something on TV, okay? And you pull up your Netflix or your Hulu and it has all the different shows that you've been watching and the next shows that you want to watch, right? It has all this different stuff. Would you be embarrassed by the stuff you're watching? Oh, preacher, we're not going to turn on the TV. Man, he would know that I've been watching this show or I've been watching that show. Am I making sense? If you'd be embarrassed by the preacher knowing it, then you'd certainly be embarrassed by Jesus knowing it. But the reality is Jesus knows it. Right? The Corinthians had gotten this idea that, oh, well, it doesn't matter what I do, specifically even to the point of prostitution, it doesn't matter what I do in joining up with these people, because that's not a big deal. I can still be the member of Christ, and I can still take part in this sexual sin. And frankly, if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. Our lives will be kind of compartmentalized, where we have this spiritual side that comes on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And we'll have this other side that's our carnal side that we can just do whatever we want. Right? And what's the Bible pointing out here? Hey, some things would not be acceptable to the Lord. And the Lord knows. When you watch that show, God knows you're watching that show. If you would not feel okay with Jesus watching the show, then you shouldn't watch the show. Does that make sense? Is that not simple? If you go and you could say, yes, I could watch this show with Jesus sitting next to me, well, that's fine. Obviously, there are fine things to watch out there. I'm not saying that there aren't. But what I am saying is that we need to be cautious. Would Christ accept it? If Christ wouldn't accept it, then I shouldn't accept it. Because I'm members with Christ. You're with me, folks. Number one, is it profitable? Number two, is it controlling? Number three, is it acceptable? Number four in this passage, is it glorifying? Verse 19, if we can. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and the last phrase is what? Ye are not your own. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, that belong to God. What's he saying here? He's saying, hey, our body, not only is it members with Christ, we're connected with Christ specifically, our body is meant, just as a temple would be meant to glorify God, our body is meant to bring glory and honor to God. Yes? So if what I'm doing, if what I'm partaking in, if what I'm enjoying is not glorifying to God, then I shouldn't be watching it and I shouldn't be doing it. You all with me, folks? That's what he's saying. Your body should glorify God. They should magnify, they should give people a better view of God. Number one, is it glorifying to Christ's purchase? Verse 20 says, you're bought with a price. Specifically, what is that price? That's what we sang about today, right? Jesus on the cross. He died for you, friend. If he died for you, then at least in our lives, we should live to magnify that. Again, nothing wrong with some things that are entertaining that are beneficial, but some things that we watch, I'm afraid as Christians, that we say are beneficial are not beneficial. Would you not agree? You watch a show and you watch it, and every 15 minutes you're like, oh man, there he cursed again. Oh man, he said this again. Oh man, he said this again. Well, time out a second. That each time, that was something that Christ died for. Would you not agree? Right? Christ died for our language, yes, to sin, right? Is it glorifying to Christ if I keep watching that? No. It's not glorifying to Christ's purchase. He died for that sin. Am I making sense? Is it glorifying to Christ's purchase? Number two, is it glorifying to our position? We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We belong to God. Yeah. Are you all with me so far? Yes? So, we just look at some considerations on our TV, okay? And these are meant to be, necessarily, they are meant to be checks in our mind as to, okay, am I where I should be or am I not where I should be? You all with me, folks? So, whatever show you're watching, whatever show you like to watch, whatever show you prefer, in your life, be honest with God and be honest with yourself and say, okay, is my show that I'm watching profitable? Is it controlling? Is it acceptable? Is it glorifying God? You all with me, folks? Have you done that in your mind? Yes? Okay? Are there some shows in your mind that you're like, oh, well, it's not really there? Is it? Because as I think about these, and frankly, I got to think about these regularly, I find that in myself, right? Oh, man, that show, you know, I kind of enjoy it. You know, maybe it's funny and I like it, or maybe it's enjoyable and something, but oh, that's not really where I should be spiritually. You all with me, folks? By the way, that's a good thing. You all with me? It's a good thing, and that's a good thing for all of us to do all the time. Obviously, for everything in our life, but specifically for TV as we're looking at today. Number one, considerations on TV. Number two, let's jump over, if we can, to the book of Proverbs, chapter number four. Proverbs, chapter number four. Number two, change. Our change in TV. Proverbs, chapter number four, if we can. We'll jump in verse number 20. Of course, in this passage, Solomon is guiding his son, Rehoboam. Specifically, he's been trying to help his son Rehoboam make wise decisions. And in this passage, he's talking specifically about the influences on young Rehoboam's life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20, here's what he says. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Now, you'll notice in this passage that he gives different body parts and how they should respond to the influences in their life. So first off, he says, incline your ear to my sayings. Verse number 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So there are three simple ideas that I see in this passage. Number one, there should be a focus, specifically a focus on that which is right. Okay? There should be a focus on that which is right in our lives. When you're talking about TV or, frankly, any influence in our life, you're talking about music, you're talking about TV, you're talking about your friends, you're talking about anything. In the influences over life, there should be a focus on that which is right. Specifically, he mentions, number one, listening to the Word, specifically the Word of God, as under inspiration here. When he says, my sayings, he's also referring to God's sayings, because the book of Proverbs, of course, was inspired. So, number one, listen to the Word of God. Now, again, that doesn't mean that the only shows you could ever watch are shows that specifically are talking about the Lord. But the entertainment and the influences of our life should never take the place of the Lord. Would you not agree with that? The influences of our life, frankly, a lot of times take the place of the Lord. We don't have time to have our devotion. We don't have time to spend time in prayer. We don't have time to serve the Lord because we're too focused on entertaining ourselves. Right? I mean, according to statistics, your average adult spends 7.5 hours per day watching TV. Average adult in the United States, 7.5 hours per day. That's insane. That's insane. It's a statistic I read. That's crazy. Folks, you can't have a good walk with God doing that. Right? By the way, that means that most people don't have jobs. But, you know, you can't have a good walk with God doing that. You know, with me? You can't. No wonder Christians are so influenced by the world, because that's all we're ever letting into our lives. That's all we're ever listening to. That's all we're ever paying attention to. You know, with me, folks? It's little wonder that we struggle with walking with God, because we might have our daily crumb for the day, right? We might read a little paragraph, if that, talking about a verse, and then we spend 7 hours watching what the world dishes out. You know, with me, folks? Our entertainment, TV in this case, number one, should be focused on listening to the Word. Number two, it should be focused on looking at the Word. That verse, as verse 21 says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. The idea is that constantly you're thinking about it. Let me just explain it this way. If you go and you pull up a show at the end of the day, and that's fine. You pull up football on Sunday afternoon, that's great. You do those different things, and all that stuff is fine, but as you're doing that, as you're watching that, your focus should still be on what God said, not on something else. Does that make sense? If we're not careful, the influences that we allow into our eyes, the influences that we allow into our ears, if we're not careful, those things will then take the priority, and God's Word doesn't. Let me explain it this way. Solomon is not saying you should always sit around with a Bible right in front of you, right? That's not what he's saying, is it? But all the time there should be Bible glasses on our eyes. That whatever we're watching, whatever we're doing throughout the day, it goes through the lens of God's Word. Y'all with me, folks? Number one. Focus. Listen to the Word of God. Number two, look at the Word of God and look through the Word of God. Number three, internalize the Word of God. As verse 21 says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Verse 22, for they are life unto those that find it, health to other flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence. Prior to that are the issues of life. You listen to the Word, yes. Pay attention to it. Hear it. By the way, let me just say, let me encourage you to be doing that. We have a lot of technology, and I'm kind of passionate on technology, but we have a lot of benefits of technology. On my phone, I have an app that on it, literally, it'll play the Bible. It'll play audio of the Bible. A lot of times when I'm driving around doing visits or driving around running errands at the church, I'll just go and rather than turn on the radio, rather than do all this different stuff, rather than play music, I'll just go and I'll play God's Word. Frankly, there's not much better that I can play than God's Word, right? Listen to it, look at it, but more than that, internalize it. Make it real in your heart. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Listen, friends, it's not enough to just read God's Word and move on and then be influenced by the world, because frankly, we're not going to be changed apart from away from God into the world. It needs to be internalized. Number one, we have to have the right focus. If you want to change in your area of TV, as you've examined those characteristics that we looked at the last point, if you want to change in that, number one, you have to have a focus, the right kind of focus. Number two, you have to have the right kind of guard. Verse 22 and 23, we read it already, but for they are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Verse 23. Can we read that first phrase of verse 23? Ready? Keep thy heart with all diligence. What's that mean? The word keeps an interesting word. It has the idea of guard. The picture is of a guard at a castle, or perhaps a guard at a gate, or maybe a security guard, if you want to imagine the special services, the Secret Service, or something to that effect. They're guarding. They are focused on making sure that no threat comes in. That's the idea. So we have to, number one, focus, have the right kind of focus. And by the way, it has to be in this order. Because if we try to do it in the wrong order, we're going to struggle. Number one, God's priority is always on the Word, not on, oh, I'll do whatever I want to, and then try and squeeze the Word in. Right? Because if I try and do that, I'm not going to have any room for it. Right? The world's going to just crowd it all out. A good illustration of it is if I had a jar here, and I was trying to fill that jar with all these different things, well, you first have to put the big, the most important things in, and then gradually you can put the smaller things in, and it'll just sift around the important thing. Does that make sense? God's Word is number one. But then number two, we have to guard ourselves. We have to be careful. Because our heart is what? It's deceitful and desperately wicked. Right? Our heart does not want to follow God. Would you not agree with that? Our heart doesn't want to follow God. Our heart doesn't want to do what's right. And if we just let ourselves just run wild with our hearts, we're going to run right into the arms of Satan rather than into the arms of the Lord. Right? That's what our heart wants. So we have to constantly guard because our heart wants sin. It wants wickedness. It wants deceit. It wants things that will destroy us. Guard your hearts, friends. Guard your hearts. You say, Pastor, why are you preaching on TV? Because it's a way for the devil, for the enemy, to get into our hearts. It's a means whereby we allow God to, or we allow rather the enemies against God to creep into our hearts. And as verse 23 says, out of it, out of the heart, are what? Issues of life. What we allow into our heart, Jesus said, out of the heart comes all manner of evil sayings and evil activity. Out of the heart those things come. So number one, we have to focus on God's Word. Number two, we have to guard ourselves. Be careful. Be careful of what you're watching. Be careful of what your spouse is watching. Be careful of what your kids are watching. Be careful of what your grandkids are watching. Be careful. Guard. Number one, focus. Number two, guard. Number three in this passage, remove. Verse 24 through 27, look at it. Put away from me a froward or evil, wicked, perverse mouth, and perverse lips put far from me. Let thine eyes look right on, thine eyelids look straight before thee. The idea is blinders. Don't be distracted by all the craziness out there. Verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What are we to remove in our lives? Number one, destructive speech. Destructive speech. Verse 24 is pretty clear on that. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips, but far from thee. The reality is, destructive speech should not be a part of our lives. And we need to be very careful, very cautious in the reality of allowing those things. I remember when I was youth pastor, I had one teen that was really struggling with his speech, really struggling with what he was saying, and he'd just, you know, we'd be playing games and stuff, he'd just kind of lose it and say a curse word. And I remember one time I talked to this teen, this was years ago, I talked to this teen, I said, what's going on, man? I mean, what's the deal? Why are you saying this stuff? You never used to say this, why are you saying this? Come to find out, long story short, his parents, he was kind of getting older, his parents were like, oh, well, you know, you can make your own decisions about what you want to watch, it's fine, it's all good. He was watching stuff that frankly was inappropriate. Not pornography, but just shows that weren't appropriate. And because of that, because he was hearing this, because he was hearing these people say these words all the time, and hearing these people speak this way, then what happened? It came into his heart, and out of the heart comes all manner of evil speakings. Friends, if we allow this stuff in our heart, we shouldn't be surprised when it comes out of our mouth. So we have to remove destructive speech from our lives. The simple reality is that if you're constantly watching foolish jesting, foolish inappropriate behavior and inappropriate words, if you're constantly watching shows that have inappropriate language, if you're constantly watching shows that take the name of the Lord in vain, then eventually that's what's going to come out of our lives. Number one, destructive speech, remove it. Number two, distractions. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, thine eyelids look straight before thee. The reality is there's lots of distractions in our lives. And we have to be careful. I'm not saying that you have to get rid of your TV, but I am saying that for some people, if this is an area of addiction in your life, then maybe you do have to for a while. I'm not one for getting rid of the TV. We have a TV in our own living room, but I guarantee you, this last Sunday, attendance was low, and it just so happened that football started. You know, with me? I'm not stupid. I know some people weren't here because they were watching football. You know, with me, folks? Distractions. Are things distracting you from where you need to be spiritually? If you can't, then you need to either control it or you need to get rid of it. Number one, destructive speech. Number two, distractions. Number three, remove the direction. That is the direction that's away from the Lord. Verse number 27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So, remove even from your mind, from your idea, the ability to go that way. Have protection in this stuff. Guys, guard yourselves. That's the point. You with me, folks? I'm not legalistic on this stuff in the sense of, thou shalt not have a TV in thy home. You know, if that's your choice, then that's great. If that's not your choice, then that's fine. But whatever it is, we need to be where the Bible says we need to be. You all with me, folks? Am I making sense? Now, one quick thing, and then we'll close, okay? Real quick. Sometimes people go and they say, Pastor, man, it's hard to even do that. Would you not agree with that? It's hard to do that. Because, frankly, oh, well, Pastor, I have Hulu, but man alive, it's hard to narrow out things that are inappropriate, or have Netflix, but man, it's hard to make sure that things are appropriate in our lives. Let me give you one real quick resource that's helpful on this, okay? Now, there's a lot I can say here, but a brief resource that's helpful on this. It's called VidAngel, okay? If we can go to the next slide. VidAngel, simply put, is a subscription that what it does is it removes inappropriate things from shows and TV. That's what it does. So what you can do, you can see on the handout there what VidAngel is. If you can go to the next slide. What it does is you can actually select what you want to remove. So you can remove inappropriate language, profanity, racial slurs. You can remove violence, different types of violence. You can remove all these different kinds of things. And frankly, it goes quite down there in terms of sexual activity and all these different things. Okay, you can remove whatever you feel appropriate within your family. And as the Lord leads you, you can remove those things and they just don't show up. They don't even exist. Does that make sense? You just edit it out and it's not there. Okay? So if you were wanting to watch a show or something and you didn't want some kind of inappropriate scene to show up, you want to watch a movie, and you're, by the way, let me encourage you, if you're going to watch a movie with your family, look up some resources to know what's in that movie before you just go and watch the movie. Okay? Because sometimes you'll go and you're like, oh my goodness, this is not what I thought it was. Right? There's lots of different websites that you can look up, and it can give you resources on what's in that movie. And so you can know, hey, oh man, I shouldn't have watched that. Or, hey, yeah, we can watch this. Know before you go in, right? But number two, in terms of shows, that's a lot harder to do, right? It's a lot harder to do that, and, you know, all of a sudden something will just show up in a show, and you're like, whoa. So this helps, okay? It's $10 a month is the cost of it. It works with other streaming services. There's several on here, Amazon, Netflix, HBO, Prime Video, some other ones, a bunch of different movies, a lot of different things. It's a helpful resource, okay? The Chosen, if you've heard of The Chosen, it was actually made by the Angel. There's a lot of different good Christian resources out there for that Angel. If you're interested in The Chosen, I have the first two seasons back in the library. You can check them out if you'd like to. It's a good Christian show, specifically about disciples and Jesus. A lot of different things. Let me just encourage you with all of it, regardless, to be wise in what you allow into your home. That's the thing. Years ago, I've been in church long enough to remember the years where, and the ages where they used to preach against movie theaters, right? You don't go to movie theaters because they, man, they're evil. Frankly, now we have far worse in our homes, right? We have far worse on our TVs, and frankly, we have far worse, and we sit in front of the couch and watch it, right? It's the reality. Friends, we cannot do that and think that our kids and ourselves will not be impacted by that. We have to be cautious and we have to be careful about these things. So hopefully this has just given me a little bit of guidance in terms of where that is. Okay, I'm not going to dictate where you draw the line, but I will say God wants you to draw a line, and God's pretty clear where the line should be. So know where that is, be cautious, and be constant in that. Make sense? Questions, follow-up, anybody? Yeah.
We have an Angel. It's great.
Yeah.
We got a deal of like $9 for a year, so it's like $7 a month.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of good like kid shows for like little kids, like for Charlotte and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a little like biblical, there's actually really good Bible stories on there, like around like the 70s or 80s.
Yeah, right.
They were like normally $300 a final line, but they're all really good Bible stories that go through like the New Testament, Old Testament, and the girls involved.
That's
So there's like other parts to that that are like biblically focused through Good Angel, which is
right.
Great. But yeah, I'll never pay a dime for Disney Plus or anything like that. So
right.
This is a good avenue if you just want to watch it with like kind of appropriate before getting nice.
Right. Yeah. So I would very much encourage you with that. I would encourage you also along that line with kids. There's several YouTube channels that we watch for the kids just for devotions, watching Bible stories and things. So there's a lot of different options out there, but be aware. That's the main point. Be aware and be cautious, okay? And hopefully that helps. All right, let's do this. Let's real quickly close in prayer, then we'll divide up. And if we can get a couple people from each group to pray for the prayer request. Then after that, you're dismissed. Thank you all for being here. And I hope this helps you. Encourage you to kind of think through this, talk amongst you and your spouse, your family, and sort out where you need to be on these things, okay? That's right. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for your love and grace. Lord, we're thankful for you taking care of us and meeting our needs and for guiding us in these things. Lord, as we look at our world, as we look at everything that's going on in our world, Lord, I pray that you wouldn't just help us to curse the darkness out there, but Lord, that you would help us to assess the darkness inside of us. And assess the areas where our hearts have been led astray. And Lord, just protect us in these things and help us to make wise and informed decisions. So Lord, strengthen us in all this. And Lord, when it comes to what we watch and what we allow to entertain our lives, Lord, I pray that we would line up with where your word wants us to line up. To be focused on you, first of all, Lord, to guarding our hearts, but Lord, to removing those things that need to be removed as well. And Lord, strengthen us in those things, we pray. Be with the prayer requests as we cover those in just a moment. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray it all. Amen. God bless you all. If you can invite us.